B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG! It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
All right, it's hour two, Felger and Maz. Big Jim Murray alongside here from Banner's Kitchen and Tap here at the Garden. Got you covered up until 6 o'clock. Bruins are back at it tonight against Columbus, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about the end of the Brady Belichick era, which is what I think.
We're staring at it.
We're staring at it. We're on the precipice of the end of this thing. Now, I don't think the whole thing is over. Just want to reset that. I don't think the whole thing is over. I think Bill's still here, and I still think you are winning divisions, getting home playoff games, probably even playoff buys, and chances for Super Bowls, if not Super Bowls themselves, over the next 3-plus years. So I don't think the whole thing's over. I think this current incarnation, this 20-year run of Brady, Belichick, and this thing, McDaniels, Brady, blah, 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 that's over. And it's just a matter of when, not if. Could be this week, could be next, could be all the way to the AFC Championship game, although I doubt it. I'm contractually not allowed to even entertain the possibility because I have signed the certificate of doneness.
The declaration of doneness.
Sorry.
Yep.
Murray wrote it out. I signed and dated January 2nd, 2020, even though it really happened on December 29th, 2019. I signed it today. Maz still has yet to sign. Is Maz back tomorrow?
No, he is not. It's you and I again tomorrow.
So he's not put on the spot at all.
You're right. They could be done by the time he's back.
He could be
literally
done by the time. Yeah, then he'll sign. Yeah. That's easy.
Right. So we should sign in absentia.
Matt McCarthy, if you were here in front of us, would you sign the declaration of doneness?
Yes, and I am in tomorrow, so please bring it so I can put my name down on it.
All right.
I will 100% happily put my name down on it. Not happily, of course. This is all bad news. But, yeah, I'll put my name on it.
Do you want to explain quickly?
Yeah, because they're done. They're cooked. They're 100% cooked. Do you need more of an explanation than that? Listen, they just had the most inexcusable loss in the regular season of the Belichick era to a 4-win team. Tom Brady, you know, here he is today saying that, yeah, he's not for nostalgia or anything like that when asked about whether this would be his final game in Foxborough. Things seem worse by the day. Yes, 100%, I will sign it. It is over. Nothing ends well in life. Even this. Everything sucks. Then you die. Back to you guys.
Okay. So I'm declaring them done because of the road, not necessarily because of what kind of team they are, which, again, I don't think is a great team. I don't think they're a great team. But I think they're a tweener contender, just like they were last year. And if you're one of those teams, then playing this weekend or not makes all the difference in the world. It's just, it's such a different road to the Super Bowl if you're sitting at home as one of those bye teams versus having to go through wild card weekend, and the recent results in the league back it up.
Hasn't it been chalk since 2012?
It's been a long time. I don't have the exact number. We should look it up. It's been a long, long time since one of those teams came out of the bye weekend, came out of the wild card weekend, I should say, or a wild card team. It used to be. It happened like every two or three years.
Yeah.
The Giants did it to you. The Steelers did it. The Packers did it. Their year with Aaron Rodgers, they came out of wild card weekend. So it used to happen all the time.
I'm pretty positive it's the Ravens in 2012 is the last team to do it.
So it's been a long time. So it's just such an advantage. And I'd feel differently about the team if they had just made one single stop or if Bill had done his job, okay? I think you lost that game on Sunday against Miami because of your defense and Bill. And they're tied together, and here's how they're tied together. Your defense couldn't get off the field. That was the biggest story of the game, that Miami picked you apart. Miami had a 12-play field goal drive in the first quarter. They had a 9-play touchdown drive in the third quarter. They had a 9-play field goal drive in the fourth, and then a 13-play touchdown drive to end the game, all right? The time of possession was 34 minutes to 26. It was just under 34 minutes. So it was, for all intents and purposes, 34 to 26 in time of possession. The Patriots didn't have the ball. They didn't have the ball nearly enough, except they had this golden opportunity at the end of the second quarter to take complete control of the game, which they already had. And Bill lays down at the end of the second quarter. You called it the worst decision. It's this version of 4th and 2.
Yeah. It's this generation's 4th and 2 against Indianapolis. It's inexplicable. It was driving me crazy at the time. You have those timeouts It just doesn't make any sense at all. Their last two drives, they had put up 10 points. Like you said, they had control of the game.
They took, but before that even happened, I said they had a chance to take control of the game there. They had a chance to go ahead on the scoreboard. They had already taken control of the game.
I think, Mike, they pride themselves on the wraparound score. You have your opportunity to at least put 3 points on the board.
They deferred the coin. They won the coin toss and deferred to get exactly what they got. To get exactly what they got. They got it. And Bill, what, decides, eh, or he wants to prove some point. Hey, I want everyone to see how badly Brady has sucked, so I'm not even going to give him a chance. Like, what was that? What the hell was that? That was a huge decision because, again, possessions were at a premium. Your defense couldn't get off the field. And so that was one of the biggest problems with the Pats' offense. They didn't have the ball enough because their defense kept giving up for a third down and first down conversions to the Dolphins. So anyway, just let me back up. Well, they had to control the game. After that pick six, that atrocious pick six, I mean, that was bad. Oh, my God. But that made it 10 to nothing. Here's how the next four possessions went. The Patriots got the ball back. They went on a 12-play drive themselves. They couldn't get in the end zone, but they kicked a field goal to make it 10-3. Okay? So they scored the very next possession after the pick six. Then Miami got the ball. You stopped them on four plays. It was a four and out. They punt the ball. You get it. You go on a 5-play, 82-yard touchdown drive. The big play was a 50-yarder to Dorsett. You tie it at 10-10 with just over 2 minutes left. Miami gets the ball back. You hold them to three and out, and they gain 0 yards. They had the ball on their 20 and gained 0 yards. So your defense had stopped them the previous two possessions, four and out, three and out. Your offense had scored on two long drives on their two previous possessions. There's just under 2 minutes left. You have all three timeouts, and they're lining up to punt from their 20. And you let it go down? What are you doing? What are you doing? That, I think that was worse than fourth and two. Honestly, I do. Fourth and two is more unconventional and looks worse in hindsight. But there's no justification for that. What, that the week before they played for points at the end of the half and Buffalo caught them on it because Buffalo scored? So I understand what happened the week before. I get it. This is the NFL, man. You deferred the kick for this exact reason.
Exactly.
To get this exact thing. Your offense had scored the previous two possessions. Your defense had stuffed them the previous two possessions. They have a fourth down at their 20. Just inside of 2 minutes, you have all three timeouts, and you don't take one? That's a freaking disgrace. That was an atrocious decision.
It's one of his worst coaching decisions I've ever seen. And as you said, like the thing you have to point out is that they scored on their prior two drives. So you can say, all right, he didn't trust the offense. He didn't trust Brady. But in their last two possessions, they had put up 10 points to tie the game. So you might not think that they can, Bill, you might not think that they can drive the field. Brady can drive the field starting at, what was it, their own 25 to put up a touchdown.
So the guy ripped off a great punt.
Yeah.
Which is what. Did you know that when you were letting the clock wind down? This is what I'm talking about. You could have stopped it first for them. They're punting from their 20.
You have to trust your quarterback and your offense to at least set up for a field goal. And the other thing is, too, that makes it even look more stupid, is that Nick Folk, so you can maybe say, well, you can't trust Nick Folk with a long field goal. No, he just proved to you in the last couple of weeks he hit a 47-yarder. He can hit a long one at home.
This is the NFL. If you don't have a guy that you think can hit from 45, then you have to bring in the next. I'm a big believer in this, right? That you have to throw when it's 4th and 9, Freddie Kittens. You have to kick a field goal when you're inside 45 yards. If you believe in your guy or not is sort of irrelevant. It's the NFL. That's the way you have to play it. And when you defer for that hairpin turn and that double score, and it sets up perfectly for it, I don't care if Tom Brady had thrown 5 interceptions. You still have to line up and go and play that way. That's the NFL. But the fact is that the Patriots already take control of the game. They had scored on their previous two possessions. They had stuffed the Dolphins on their previous two possessions on the other side of the ball. It sets up perfectly to get some points at the end of the half, going with all that momentum, and you just laid down. I know Bill has said subsequently this week that they all would want a lot of things back from that game. I hope he recognizes it. I think he probably does.
He has to.
He just went too far with that one.
But we'll never get a real explanation, as to why he made that decision.
Well, no, maybe, I mean, all it doesn't need an explanation. All it takes is, I was wrong. I'm sorry, or not I'm sorry, but,
He'll never get that from him.
I missed that one. I was reading, you know, in the coverage as I was away, Ted Johnson on the NBC Sports Boston postgame show had some interesting comments about it. Like, it was almost message sending from Bill Belichick. I know we grabbed this sound, Jimmy. Can we play it, please?
I don't think that was stupid. I mean, it was. I think that was a calculated thing. I think Bill, my feeling, my gut is it on this, is that Bill was sending a message to Tom. That's what it was.
Yeah, that's what it
was. I mean, there's
like.
No other explanation other than, well, I don't believe in you, Tom. Tom, you know what? You don't deserve another chance to put points up. This is on you, Tom. You know what? In the first, you know, the first two plays when they did get the ball back were run plays, and they ran it out. You know what the first two plays were to open the second half with the Patriots? Two run plays. Can't convert on third down, punt.
Well,
it was as if they were like, you know what, we're done putting the ball in your hands, Tom. And then that decision before halftime makes zero sense.
Yeah, I would be curious to know
what Bill's explanation is for not using those timeouts before the half. If it was to teach what? Tom a lesson? Was he trying to teach him a lesson? Was he?
I don't know.
You don't deserve the chance.
What's the lesson?
Here's the thing with Bill. Sometimes he cuts off his nose to spite his face, Malcolm Butler. Sometimes where you're like, what are you doing, Bill? I mean, what is the overall lesson? Or, you know, what are you trying to say to this offense? Like, it's Tom Brady, for crying out loud. I know the offense didn't look great, but they did in their last two possessions before that final possession, scored 10 points. So it wasn't like they were looking bad at that time. So to not trust your offense in that situation might have cost you the game, Bill.
Okay, great job by Ted Johnson there. I know it's a couple days old for you folks. This is my first show back, and I just wanted to get to it because I feel strongly about it. Bill cost you that game with that decision.
Absolutely. And the way Ted's saying it, it's a lot of ways. He looked at Tom and said, oh, you're going to throw a bad pick six like that? F you. You don't get another shot here.
So that there's some sort of calculating, said Johnson, sending a message. I wonder if that's part of it. And Bill was so pissed off by the pick six, and that was bad. Boy, that pick six was bad.
I still don't know who it was really to. Was it to Michelle or Edelman?
And so, look, and maybe, I understand why Bill, all the rationale you could give me about why he did it. The Buffalo thing the week before, the way Brady looked in that game, maybe Brady's foot or what, you know, like, I get it.
You can't coach and play scared in the NFL.
You can't do that in the NFL when you set yourself up and you engineer it and defer a coin toss to get specifically that. And then you get to that, and your offense had scored the previous two possessions. Even to me, people are saying, well, he didn't trust his offense. You trust both sides of your ball. Your defense had stuffed them. Stuffed them. Four and out, three and out on Miami's previous two possessions. Trust them all. And play to the whistle and go get points.
You should be able to trust this offense, even if you didn't at that point, to dink and dunk about 30, 40 yards with three timeouts to set up for 3 points.
Oh, my God.
But he did it either out of fear or spite, like Ted was just saying.
And it's Bill's not above that to do a few spiteful things. I'm glad Ted mentioned the drive coming out of the halftime. Two runs, you know, run, third and long, short, pass, punt. And Miami then got the ball and scored a touchdown on their first.
Right.
That changed the whole game right there. That was the game. And I'm spending time on it because that was the game, and that's the era. That's it. It's done. And it's just a matter of when that's coming. Is it coming this weekend? Is it coming next weekend? Do they get 3 weekends out of it? But it's coming. It's coming. It's because of that. Because of that game. And that decision played right into it. Brutal. All right, thank you for letting me scratch that itch. It's Felger and Maz with Jim Murray here from Banners. Free Patriots tickets coming up later on in the program. Details on that with your calls right after these words.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's Bruins game day. Felger and Maz are live at Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Patriots have 57 seconds with those three timeouts with which to work, tied at 10.
Well, it's going
to
say everything if they come out here and start running the ball and content to go in 10-10, because we've seen that in other years where they don't use the timeout or they're content going in with a double score setup, and they just say, we're not going to do the 2 minutes. It's happened.
Dolphins have three timeouts as well. This. Michelle is the single back behind Brady with one receiver to the left. Brady takes the snap, hands it off to Michelle, clipped down by Van Ginkel in the backfield. And he's brought down for a loss of a yard and a half. Bach is counting down under 50 seconds to go. Not exactly a vote of confidence for the offense.
This is
you
odd.
Can hear the restlessness.
Odd.
From the crowd. As well as this broadcast.
It's like everything we've learned over the years calling games and the setup and how important it was to win the coin toss, to defer, to get that double score, you just throw it out the window here.
Now 25 seconds in counting. Brady's under center. James White in the backfield takes the handoff, runs it to the right side. White covers up the football as he swarmed under, fighting out to the 30-yard line.
Well, something's wrong with your quarterback. I don't know.
A third and five coming up in the final 10 seconds, and the Patriots will not snap it again.
That was bizarre.
Quarterback is going to be the first one.
Absolutely bizarre.
To the sideline with the rest of the offense to follow him into the Patriots locker room.
So that's what it sounded like here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. I know it's a couple days old.
It's still worth talking about, though. It didn't matter if you missed it, and, you know, we've been on vacation. That is still that's something you get out of Jason Garrett or Freddie Kitchens, one of the idiot coaches in the NFL, not from the best coach in the history of the game.
So it's true, except, you know, Kitchens or Garrett would do it because they lost track of the clock or their timeouts or just
They're stupid.
Okay, well, they're dumb or they just didn't realize the situation. Bill knows the situation.
Yeah.
So it
was out of spite or fear, one of those two things.
That was calculating. You know, again, Freddie Kitchens runs for it on 4th and 9 because he thinks it's 2nd and 9. I mean, I mean? Or Garrett doesn't call the timeouts because he thinks he's out of timeouts. No, Bill is in full command of the situation. He just, for whatever reason, gave up. It's just, you lost that game because your defense couldn't get off the field. And so your offense had limited possessions and limited opportunities, and the coach helped limit them. And because of that, you're playing this weekend, and because of that, it's over. And how do you feel about all of that? Are we right to be saying that it's over? We continue with your calls, as promised. Josh in Nashville. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, Josh. First time, long time. I got a question for you about the Baltimore Ravens. Is this Patriots team not reminiscent about how they got blown out at home against Baltimore that year, where it was like 44-14 or something like that, when they played at home against the wild card game? Bye.
Okay, yeah, I would not compare that to in 09, they were a mess. They were, you know,
they were a mess. They lost Welker the last game of the season in Houston. Like, they limped into that game.
Oh, I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about the locker room was a mess. It was a bad room. It was a bad team. Randy Moss, a bunch of guys that started to follow Randy Moss.
Adalius Thomas.
Doing his Moss crap. Adalius Thomas, Sean Springs. You know, Adelicious was at war with the coach. There were a couple a-holes in there. That's
the worst of the Belichick-Brady teams in this era,
right.
Without question.
So this team, I still think, you know, cares and is professional and, you know, has all those things going for it. I just think they now have to play an extra game. They'll have to play a couple on the road probably, and I don't think they're good enough to get through it. That's the story with this team. That team in 09 was not a good – so, I'd be stunned if they got blown out.
No, this is more like 2013. To me, you know, a team
just not enough.
Just not enough.
We got Mike in Rhode Island. Hi, Mike.
Well, you're talking about what happened on Sunday with 1:50 left in the game. Belichick, who's calling the plays? Belichick or the offensive coordinator?
Bill,
you
in
know
that
what
situation.
I mean? And even in coming out in the third quarter, why are they running the ball if Josh McDaniels is making the calls?
No, it's
that's
not.
A, that's a deliberate. That's a Bill pulled him. Said, you know what, Brady shot. Don't do it. I think that Bill is ticked off at Brady for going over his head, and it all goes back to Jimmy G. He went to the owner and said, get rid of Jimmy
G. Mike, I'm with you for all the vendettas and stuff about Jimmy Garoppolo, but they're not doing it with a minute and 50 seconds left in the second quarter. That was not about Jimmy Garoppolo. And the decision to run or pass or call timeouts, that is all on Bill. That's all on Bill. The way they managed the end of the second quarter. And McDaniels even said as much in his conference call yesterday.
Yeah, I heard Beadle and Zoe playing some of this earlier today. He tried to push away from the table on this one.
Because he
that
should.
That was Bill's decision,
that's
not mine.
That's where the head coach steps in. The head coach steps in and says, here's the time on the clock. Here are the timeouts that we have at our disposal. Now we're either going to run it, we're going to pass it, we're going to go for it, or we're not. And then it's up to the offensive coordinator to call the specific run or the specific pass. But that's the head coach. And Josh McDaniels, I don't think, was intentionally throwing Bill under the bus. He was just saying it like it is, which is, I almost always trust Bill in those situations because he almost always gets it right.
Yeah, but so, even if he was trying to throw him under the bus there, I don't blame him because he's a guy trying to get a head coaching job. So don't put a dumb decision like that on me.
But whether to call that timeout, when that clock is ticking down and the Dolphins are lining up to punt, that's not Josh McDaniels' call. And then when the Patriots get the ball and they're lining up for that first play, run, pass, go for it or not, that's not Josh's call. That's Bill's call. That's why people don't like people get on Kyle Shanahan for that Atlanta Super Bowl. That was Dan Quinn who said, instead of saying, no, we'd set up the field goal here, run it, they let Kyle Shanahan keep calling these pass plays. That's on the head coach. Brian in the car on the Titans. Hi, Brian.
Hey, I'm just calling to talk about the run game because I'm not too worried about the secondary. I think we have the best secondary probably in the whole NFL, I would strongly like to say. But I think Derrick Henry is an absolute workhorse, and I don't know how the D-line is going to hold up against them. How do you think?
Okay, yeah, thank you, Brian. Are you as confident in the secondary as you were before these last 2 weeks?
No, I think the secondary's been wretched the last 2 weeks.
I was going to say, because Buffalo made some big plays on you, too, now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I never fear the running back, so I'm just not wired that way to say, ooh, I'll watch out for the running back. Because if you want to stop the run, you stop the run. You put an extra guy down in the box and you stop the run.
But when it's been either Frank Gore or Nick Chubb or the kid Mixon with the Cincinnati Bengals, like there's been teams. You have a workhorse back, and Henry might be the best of the bunch in the league. They've been able to run it down their throat.
I don't see it. You know, but then again, I never see it. I'm biased. So
back to the secondary, though. So even
so, my answer is I'm far more concerned about. Davis is one of the receivers,
yeah.
And who is the rookie that they...
Brown, is it A.J. Brown?
A.J. Brown, who, again, another guy you missed.
Yeah, another one.
So I'm far more concerned about those two guys and Tannehill running, than I am about Henry. Because I think you key on him. I'm more worried about Deion Lewis catching passes out of the backfield than I am on Derrick Henry lining up and just flat out running it down your throat. Maybe I'll be proven wrong, but I'm far more concerned about Tannehill running, Deion Lewis out of the backfield in a receiving role, and those two receivers against a secondary that feels like has come back to earth or the bubble has burst on him the last couple of weeks.
Well, not even just the last couple of weeks. I mean, if you just look at Tennessee's game against the Patriots last year, Corey Davis completely lit up Stephon Gilmore, and that's when you had Hawaiian Tebow quarterback
on
the team.
Exactly. So those would be my concerns. Mark in San Francisco. Go ahead, Mark.
Mark.
Hey, guys. So, one, Belichick clearly has proven he has a track record now of choking against inferior opponents at the end of the season. Look at the last kickoff by Miami a couple years ago or a year ago. Look at the Philadelphia game where he choked late in the season. Number two, can we get rid of the Judd Surratt quick hits yelling in my ear?
Okay, you're just sort of all over the map on that. Do you distrust Belichick in this game?
What I distrust with Belichick right now is his success rate against his former pupils and players, like so with Vrabel. It ain't good. It's 12-13 in the regular season, 2-0 in the postseason, so you have that. But recently, whether it's guys like Vrabel that were former players or former coaches, they've had his number.
We've got Paul in Jupiter, Florida on Brady Belichick. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike, I'm a contrary position to you on what's going to happen when Tom isn't under center anymore. If you look at Bill's record over the course of his coaching career, he's coached 7 years without Brady under center. His record's 53-61. And he was 11-5 with Castle when they had the best roster they ever had. Tom took him to 16-0. Bill should be ashamed of himself for how he coached against Miami in the last game. It's just awful.
Well, so I mean, Paul,
he's got the best quarterback that's ever played the game, and he doesn't put it in his hands. Shame on Bill. And if it was because of spite, bigger shame on Bill.
Well, I'm with you on that. That was just an atrocious decision not to play that out in the first half. Just quitting. Brutal. I hated it. I don't look at Bill Belichick's record in Cleveland with Todd Philcox as his quarterback or whoever. I'm sorry. I don't. I look at 11-5 with Matt Castle and 3-1 with Garoppolo and Brissett. Those are the numbers I look at. I think that's, to me, that's the...
Well, that sample size is just much more relevant at this point. You can't go back to what he did with Cleveland.
I think Bill's better now than he was in Cleveland.
Yeah.
He's a different guy. That was 30 freaking years ago. Okay? So he ain't the same guy. I think he's improved. I think he's learned a few things. I think he's gotten better in some things. And so No, I don't hold the Cleveland record against him. I'll hold recent events against him. I'll hold events in the last 20 years against him. I'm just not going back 30 years with another team. I'm sorry, I'm not. He was 11-5 with Castle, 3-1 with Garoppolo and Brissett. That's 14-6. That's what I think he could do with the next guy here. I want to see it. But and for Paul's exact reason, because Paul says, yeah, he's just a bum. When he was in Cleveland, he had this record. And, you know, shame on Bill. I'm ready for the next chapter to you know, sort of further that argument. Let's see if Bill turns back into Cleveland Bill with the next quarterback.
Yeah, I'm curious now, too, and I've wanted this to last as long as it possibly can, and I've been Tom over team for recent years. But if it's going to look like this, what I want is for Brady to go to another team, be rejuvenated, play another couple of years.
And I would love to see that.
And let's see what Bills can do with another quarterback.
And then let's have them play each other. And then that whole thing, you know, that's why I was rooting for Miami. That's why that Chan Gailey news to me, I still don't get. I want to circle back to that coming up. So, you know, all of that. But that's what we're on the precipice of. That's what we're on the precipice of. The next era, the next chapter here in New England. We continue with your thoughts. I'll give you a quick update on Spygate 2 coming up after McCarthy's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
From Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden, it's Bruins Game Day with Felger and Mass on your home of the Bruins. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, the update on Spygate 2 is a positive one for the Patriots. Mark Maskey, the fine national reporter there with the Washington Post, reported yesterday that the NFL has found no evidence to this point linking coach Bill Belichick or others on the Patriots football staff to the video shot by a crew on behalf of the team showing footage of the Bengals sideline during a game last month in Cleveland. This is according to people familiar with the matter. The league's investigation of the latest video incident involving the Patriots is winding down. Could be completed as soon as this week, according to those people. They said it remains likely at this point, barring the last-minute uncovering of more damaging evidence, that the NFL will impose penalties consistent with those handed out in recent years in other cases of game day infractions. That would mean that the Patriots probably would be facing a fine in the hundreds of thousands of dollars and possibly the loss or reduction in value of a draft pick. Finally, Maskey says it's not clear, however, when the NFL will announce a decision once NFL security officials complete their investigation and submit their findings. Commissioner Roger Goodell and other league leaders must still review those findings, decide whether to conduct additional interviews, deliberate over the potential penalties, and determine when to announce the ruling. But there is no indication at this point that Belichick or the Patriots football staff has been tied to the video, or that the investigation has uncovered evidence of a sustained, organized effort by the Patriots to gain a competitive on-field advantage, according to those people with knowledge of the case. Your thoughts, Murray?
Well, the one thing that bugged me about this and some of the reporting over the last week and a half or so, was that, I forget who had it, might have been Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, that there was some frustration on behalf of the league that they couldn't find more.
I don't trust that report.
You think that that's a cartel-type
yep.
report? Okay.
I sure do.
That annoyed me, though, to read some of that stuff. It's like, oh, like we're looking under every stone and everything that we can find here. We got nothing. Ah!
Do you think the league really wants to ring them up? I'm sure some owners do.
Yeah, I'm sure some owners do. Because it would be bad. It would be a bad look for the league that they would have to try to explain something like this for this team.
Do you think Goodell really wants to take you down for this?
No. I think other owners would love. I think that's more about other owners that would love to find something so that they can whack the Patriots.
Fans have just been duped. They've been barstooled. You know, they've just been so by the stupid boogeyman. You know, Goodell thing. Do you think Goodell?
No, I don't think it's Goodell. I think it's the owners.
Do you think Goodell really wants an enemy out of Robert Kraft? Do you think that's what he really wants?
No.
Does he really want to, or does he want all 32 owners to like him?
Don't lump me into the whole thing with Goodell.
Especially the powerful ones. He wants Kraft as an ally. He wants them on his side. He doesn't want to take them down. He doesn't want to attack. No. There's owners who hate you, certainly. And that exists for every team, by the way. You're worse because you're so good. So that obviously increases the level of hatred among other owners for you. Of course, obviously. But You know, if it were the Bears, the Packers would want to take him down. If it were the Chargers, the Rams would want to. Yeah, I mean, you see what I'm saying? Like, there's just a million. If it were the Eagles, the Giants would want to take him down. So any team who got involved with something would have other owners after him for whatever reason. Okay? You have more because you've been so good. And you've cheated before. But Goodell does not want to take you down. He wants this to go away like he wants all of it to go away.
What it felt like to me is that you had some owners being like, you sure you didn't find anything? Come on, you didn't find anything? Come on, keep looking.
Can you blame them? I mean that report reeked. You know, oh, we can't find anything. Curses. You know, well, let's go back and get them. Like, is this childish? You know, I can't. I just don't believe that's the case. I don't think they want to find anything. I don't. The league now doesn't. I mean, like with Woody Johnson and the Jets,
oh,
be happy if you got. Of course, but I mean, what's that saying? I still think you're catching a break. If the league were really out to get you on this, they wouldn't try and find a link between the videotapers.
They'd just whack them.
They'd just say, we have the video. You clearly did it. Boom. Suck on it. I'm even surprised that the league has said, well, we're going to have to find if there's a link between this and the football department, and if there's not, we'll go easy on you. I didn't think they would do that. After all the stuff you've done in the past and the way you've handled this stuff in the past, I thought they caught you red-handed. They'd say, screw it. We don't need to find a link. We've got the video. You did it.
Yeah, but what kind of punishment would you think that would happen, or that they would end up?
Well, I mean, getting? Like, on the heavy side would be a first-round pick, second-round pick, $1 million, you know?
Because
like,
I still think they're looking at close to $1 million and probably a third-rounder, and okay, that's still a pretty harsh penalty.
That would be harsh. I mean, based on this, I mean, if Maskey's right and he says, compared to some of the others, like, when that dingbat on the Giants used the walkie-talkie, didn't they just go from the fourth round to a fifth round?
Or they
dropped to the bottom, whatever round they were at? Like, those are sort of the penalties that I think this report implies that the Pats are looking at. You know, a day three pick, and maybe not even losing the pick outright, but just going to the bottom of the round. You know, that's sort of what that's how that reads to me, that's what they're looking at, which is a huge break. I mean, and look, I don't think the football department was involved. They're not that stupid. They're not going to send that video crew into the press box to have them tape the sideline in front of everybody else. I mean, of course the football people weren't involved. The fact that the league is letting that be a factor is a break for you that I didn't think you would get. Because if they really wanted to get you, you really wanted to play your baby, you know, Goodell boogeyman stuff, all Goodell would do is say, oh,
I got the tape.
You clearly did it. Here's a first-round pick and $1 million. Bye-bye. He could easily do that. And in some respects, he'd be justified. Caught red-handed. You've been on double-secret probation for years. I told you, if you ever did this stuff again, I'd ring you up. And he could. Instead, they're saying, nope, let's see if there's a link between these guys in the football department. And I think that's a nice outcome for you.
Oh, for sure. No, it's a good thing that they actually were this thorough on it because, you know, again, given their history, I wouldn't have been that surprised if it was.
If Goodell really wanted to get you, he'd get you. He has the tape. You were caught red-handed. You did it. It's, you know, like, but he doesn't. He doesn't want that. So there's your Spygate update. Details on how you can win free Patriots tickets with your calls right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go,
go,
go on the
go,
Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
At the entrance to the garden at Banner's Kitchen and Tap, Felger and Maz are live for Bruins Game Day on 98.5, The Sports Hub, and the Sports Hub app.
I know that you said the football and the team production side are different entities. You guys did
the football team, the football staff, and the coaching staff had nothing to do with what happened. Nothing. So we have no involvement in it.
You guys have a scout in the Cleveland press box. So was he aware of the rules that you can't film from the press box?
He was doing his job. That's what he was doing. He was doing his job. Like we all tried to do. That's what the football team, the football staff, and the coaching staff did last week, to try to do their job for Kansas City, and then Cincinnati, and then Buffalo next week. And that's it. So
that was Bill at the time 3 weeks ago when that Bengals thing came out. And it feels like it's wrapping up. Feels like the outcome will be okay. Like, it won't be a horrible outcome. I mean, you're gonna get hit with something. But doesn't feel like it's amounting to anything major, which is good news for the Patriots. So if you want to follow up on that, you can. We have free Patriots tickets to give away. Listen for the Tennessee Ticket Weasel at 4:30.
That's right.
No joke. Tennessee Ticket Weasel at 4:30. You will get a chance to win free Patriots tickets to Patriots-Titans Saturday at Gillette Stadium, which could be Tom Brady's final game as a New England Patriot, his final game in Foxborough. Could shape up as a very, very big night for the New England Patriots and sports in Boston and period. Blah, I don't think I can overstate that. And that's what we're talking about today. Are the Patriots done? You feel they're done. The era's done. Are we on the precipice of a whole new thing? And so we continue with your thoughts on that and everything else. Martin on the Cape. Go ahead, Martin.
I knew it would be ugly at the end of this, but I never would have believed it would show up in the form of Eric Rowe and Ryan Fitzpatrick's disgusting beard. You know, his greatest promoter, Mike, your old nemesis, that nut Carlton, he must have had a full-blown brain seizure over that game.
I tell you, Carlton and Norwell must be not just in prison, but like a Ukrainian gulag. For him to not...
Yeah, to not hear a peep after that performance.
That's magic!
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick, even when he's with Tampa. Yeah, well, wherever he is, I hope he enjoyed that.
I hope he's okay.
He's missed.
But, I mean, he must not be. If he doesn't want to come out to you, it's just a little half-victory lap for that.
No, there's... He's in solitary.
Thoughts and prayers, Carlton, for crying out loud. Is it ending ugly? How do you feel about, as a card-carrying, you know, Brady... you know, I know you've been kicked out of the club, but you consider yourself a Brady guy.
And, yeah, I've been Tom over team.
And a huge fan of this. How do you feel about the way it's ending?
Oh, this is like worst case scenario.
You think so?
Yeah. It's setting up for my worst possible scenario and my nightmare, and that is the end of Dan Marino, whose last performance was a 62-7 loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars in the divisional round in 1999, his last season. They won their home playoff game against the Seattle Seahawks, and then he went out and puked all over himself, as did the rest of the Dolphins, but he was awful in his last game against 62-7. So I think that they actually win Saturday night against Tennessee. And then they go into Kansas City, and that same kind of thing might happen.
Okay. Big picture, though. Has it been an ugly ending, if this is it?
No. It's not like they went 6-10 and had an awful season and Brady was awful throughout. I mean, it was a dip compared to how he's played. But, no, it could have been worse.
I mean, and I'm just talking, even stepping back a little bit more than that. You know, Dan Marino at the end, constantly fighting with Jimmy Johnson or whoever over running the ball or not running the Jimmy, Dan, Jimmy, the whole Dolphins thing, you know.
And he was also walking around like the Tin Man.
Brett Favre, you know, that was huge upheaval. You don't understand, like, what an icon the guy is in Wisconsin, and they get rid of him, and then a year later he comes back to the division rival just to stick it up their ass, and then he does?
Yeah. But he was wretched in that last season. It could have been, that was bad.
Okay, but I'm saying, like, Montana had to go somewhere else. And I don't know. It doesn't, man, maybe that is happening to Brady. I don't feel like this is, you know, this ain't Bobby Orr going and playing for the Chicago Blackhawks after his agent steals from him in the youth. Like, I don't know.
I'm still mad about that.
They're still a good team. They're still a viable team. They're not going out, and Brady's not going out on top, but I don't think it's a disastrous end. It's just the way I'm putting it.
I want to see how the next couple of weeks play out. it's pretty ugly.
I mean, the last time Brady got the ball in this last game, he took him down the field and scored what should have been the go-ahead touchdown. So
He did.
It's not like he was bad in this game. Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you he was good, but he still came through with the money on the table. He did in this Dolphins game. The offense repeatedly came back and scored when they needed to score. When they were down 10 points, they scored the next 10. When they were down 17-10, they scored to tie it up. When Miami kicked a field goal to go back ahead, the Patriots went down the field and scored a touchdown to go back ahead. So back and forth, like, the Patriots' offense came through when they had to, and Brady came through when he had to. It's sort of lost in that game and the result and the pick six, but that's sort of what happened. So
I just didn't. And the reason I think I put more weight on how bad he was, at least in that first half or in the game overall, is because he was so good the week before. So it's like, what else is going on here? Is it age? Is it another injury? Is it something in, like, the lower half of his body? Like, something else felt up because he was so good. It was vintage Brady the week before against Buffalo.
So I don't get that either. Paul in New Hampshire, you're up.
Hey, how you doing? You guys just talked about how good he was in the week before. They could have lost at that last play.
But anyways, I just want to say something about Brady. He could have called a timeout anytime he wanted. I've seen him do it before on his own, and Bill get all huffy puffy. What are you doing? Blah blah blah.
When did that happen?
When was that? A million times he's called his own timeouts.
I can't remember once.
Well, anyways, I can't specify, but it has to be at least 20 times that he's done it.
Paul, I mean,
over the years. No, I'm not talking about this game, but anyways.
Paul, I'm just going to cut you off. Not in a situation like that. I mean, has Brady seen the play clock go to zero and have to get a timeout real quick because they don't want to lose the 5 yards? Sure. I'm sure that's happened. But end of the quarter, are we going to go into the locker room with our timeouts? Are we going to go for points here? That's not – do you think Brady is
– No, he's just following orders
there. So going back to some other – like Favre used to do that.
Yeah.
Rodgers did that to McCarthy. Marino used to do crap like that all the time. So those guys did that sort of stuff. I don't think Brady has he ever on the field been insubordinate?
No, not that I can ever remember.
So, no, I'm sorry. Brady could not. If Bill wants timeouts there and wants to go for points, he goes for points. That's Bill's call, not Brady's, and not Josh McDaniels either. Our buddy Tim's in Quincy. Hi, Tim. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year, guys. One thing, I have more confidence of Brady in this offense with the limited weapons putting up 24 points again, but I have zero confidence in this defense to be able to let less than 24 points up in this game.
Okay, I'm sort of with you. It's flipped for me, too. Like, I think the offense has been sneaky better the last couple weeks.
It has. It has. And the offensive line has been less of a concern. I would have liked to have seen the tight ends involved a little bit more last week. N'Keal Harry dipped again last week. But, you know, he's shown that he's been better towards the end here. So, yeah, the defense really has been inexcusable how they've played the last couple of weeks.
I mean, they almost petered away against Buffalo. And Josh freaking Allen, they made him look like a playmaker in that game. And then they just got shredded by Ryan Fitzpatrick. So shredded. Couldn't get off the field. Gave up 34 minutes time of possession in that ball game. So I've almost flipped a little bit on that. And I think the offense has been sneaky okay. And even though Brady sucked in this last game, but offensively, the line's been better. I've heard a lot of people have given Mohamed Sanu a lot of crap. Didn't he kind of show up in this last game? Wasn't he kind of there on some plays?
Yeah.
No?
No, not really.
No, not really?
I think he sucks.
I mean, overall he does, but I don't know. I thought he had a few plays in this game. The game before, the Buffalo game, Julian Edelman goes out, and Jacoby Myers comes in, and Brady throws to him, and they move the ball. Like, I don't know. I've seen some things the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and then Myers, though, this week commits a brutal procedural penalty.
Brutal.
Third down, gets screamed at by McDaniels as soon as he goes to the sideline, and rightfully so, and cost him. Like, that was another key moment in that game. He killed that drive.
Okay, but so I'm not telling you that they're perfect or even good.
No, but it's been better-ish.
But I feel like
it trended, trended upwards.
I mean, Murray, there've been weeks here this season where they've hardly had any touchdown drives, hardly any, and they had.
No, you had sustainable drives.
They had three
Buffalo and Miami
long drives in this Miami game. You had more than that against Buffalo, and I think if Brady was just normal in this game, I think he would have won going away, or if your defense was normal, you would have won going away. But now there's two straight weeks for the defense. So I'm almost more concerned about that. It all leads up to, it's over. It's over. Do you agree with that? Do you agree that it's over? That it's done? Get back to the declaration of doneness. Your thoughts on it, with free Patriots tickets to be given away next hour as well. First, a 90-second update from Matt McCarthy. There are no commercials, so go nowhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.